Welcome back to Mind Manners. This is Albert, and in our last session, we journeyed into understanding trauma and reconnecting with our inner child. Today, I wanted to focus more on a powerful ally in trauma recovery, our bodies. It is something that I've witnessed personally and professionally, and how powerful our bodies can be in helping us get back control of our lives. And I feel like it's worth highlighting. We'll explore how the body holds on to trauma, and how, through it, we can open up one of the gateways towards healing. So, wherever you are, thank you for showing up. Let's get started.
You're listening to Mind Manners, hosted by licensed psychotherapist Albert Nguyen. Albert helps his clients overcome past trauma, change their mindset, and accelerate their personal and professional development. This podcast covers a wide range of mental health and self-development topics, with each episode offering an actionable step towards a better you. If you're on a wellness journey, keep listening.
Now, I'd like us to pause for a moment and touch on a topic that's both tender and crucial: recovering from trauma. Sharing this often brings a heavy heart, but embracing honesty is vital in our journey together. Trauma, in its many forms, leaves indelible marks and scars in our lives. It reshapes us in ways we might not fully understand until we face them head on. And here's something I find myself having to share with my patients, a truth that's hard to wrap our hearts around. Trauma changes us, and it does so forever, and we're not supposed to remain the same after trauma. And part of the journey requires us to let go of that desire and instead rediscover what it means to truly live. Recovery doesn't mean those shadows of trauma will never cross your path again. It's not about wiping the slate clean of those post-traumatic effects as if they never existed. No, recovery is far more personal, far more intricate than that. It's as unique and varied as the tapestry of human experience. What recovery looks like, how it feels, the pace it takes, it's different for everyone. But at its very core, recovery is about reclaiming your ability to live in the here and now. It's about finding those moments where you can breathe a little easier, laugh a bit louder, and move through the world with a bit more sense of freedom, without being haunted by the ghosts of your past. And let me be very clear, recovery is a process, a lifelong one at that. I know it's not something we all like to hear, but the imprints of trauma, in one form or another, will accompany us on our journey indefinitely. That might sound daunting, but within it lies a powerful truth. The depth and direction of your healing journey are yours to chart. So, I want you to think of recovery, not as a destination, but as a journey where sometimes you might feel lost at sea, and other times you'll navigate through the storms to calm waters. And that's okay, it's all part of healing. You know, at the heart of experiencing trauma, there's this overwhelming sense of helplessness, a kind of isolation that feels like you're in a room with no doors. And it's that loss of power, that control slipping through your fingers, that marks those moments of trauma even after the horrible events have passed. But here's the thing. I want you to really hear me on this. You're not alone. And reclaiming that power, that control, starts with recognizing your own strength, your resilience. It's about taking those small steps, one day at a time, towards a place where you feel like you're the captain of your ship again. So, how do we start this journey? How do we begin to move from that place of helplessness to a place of empowerment and connection? Well, that's exactly what we're going to dive into next. I want to talk about how your body can be the first step on this incredible journey of healing. All right, let's talk about how the body holds on to trauma, and more importantly, how it can help us heal. You know, there's something quite extraordinary about our bodies that we often overlook. They're like living archives, holding not just the bright moments of joy and success, but also the darker shadows of our traumas. It's a side of our physical selves that doesn't always get the spotlight, but plays a crucial role in our healing journey. Your body, believe it or not, remembers the trauma. They store these intense experiences of trauma deep within, in our muscle memory, in the very fibers of our nervous system. It's a concept that's both fascinating and a bit daunting. Science shows us that our body's reaction to trauma, the fight, flight, or freeze response, is a survival mechanism just naturally a part of our biology. But what happens when the danger or traumatic event is gone, yet our bodies cling to that primal responses? Imagine this. The traumatic event has passed, but it's as if you're living in a psychological prison with your body as the warden. This isn't just a metaphor. For many, it's a daily reality. Chronic tension, unexplained anxiety, the somatic symptoms that seem to have no source, all these can be the body's way of holding on to those traumatic memories. And it gets more complex. Studies and books like The Body Keeps the Score shed light on the profound ways in which trauma can reshape our very own physiology. It's not just about emotional scars. Trauma can essentially alter how our bodies respond to the world around us, skewing our perceptions of danger and safety. This shift can trap many of us in a state of perpetual vigilance, or on the flip side, a sort of emotional detachment, where feelings seem distant or muted. This constant state of alertness or numbness isn't a choice. It's a reflection of how deeply trauma is embedded within us. Imagine living each day as if your body believes it's still in the eye of the storm, reacting to threats that no longer exist except in the echoes of our memory. This isn't just about being stuck in the past emotionally. It's about our bodies carrying the past into our present, influencing every breath, every heartbeat, every moment of our lives. I've seen this within my own process of healing and with many of trauma victims I've worked with over the years, including veterans who have seen and experienced horrific events while at war. But understanding this connection between trauma and our physiological responses also opens up pathways to healing. Recognizing that our bodies hold on to trauma means we can start to work through it on a physical level. Techniques like mindful breathing, yoga, and even certain forms of exercise aren't just about physical health. They're about communicating with our bodies, telling them that it's okay to let go, that the danger has passed. These practices are more than just activities. They're a form of dialogue with ourselves, a way to gently reassure our physiological selves that we are safe now. By incorporating mindfulness and body-centered healing practices, we can begin to recalibrate our responses to the world, teaching our bodies to live in the present rather than being haunted by the past. So, while the impact of trauma on our bodies might seem daunting, there's also a message of hope in the science and stories. It's a reminder that healing is possible, that our bodies, though they may carry the weight of our experiences, also possess the incredible capacity to recover and find peace. Recognizing that our bodies hold these memories is the first step towards healing. And this is why I believe that using our bodies is a vital first step. Things like yoga, tai chi, or even simple mindful walking aren't just exercises. They're acts of liberation. They offer a way to tune into our body's stored memories and engage with them in a healing, compassionate, and empowering manner. Through these movements, we're not just stretching muscles. We're beginning to loosen the grip of trauma. We're learning to listen to our bodies, to understand their silent language. And in doing so, we start to release that chronic tension, to soothe the somatic symptoms, and to transform our body's memory from one of trauma to one of resilience and strength. So things like exercise, they are much more than just movements. It's a dialogue with your body, a journey of coming home to yourself, and a path to reclaiming your freedom from the confines of past traumas. Now, for some of you who don't know me, I'd like to share my own story with you. It's something I don't talk about often, but I believe there are some nuggets of wisdom that are relevant to this session. When I was younger, long before I became a therapist and understood the depths of healing trauma, I found my own lifeline in fitness and martial arts. At that time, much of my trauma was like a sleeping giant, repressed and dormant, lurking in the shadows of my consciousness. Yet somehow, intuitively, I was drawn to the discipline and physicality of martial arts, and to the strength and vitality that came with fitness. These practices, for me, weren't just about physical health or learning self-defense. They were about survival. They stabilized me in ways I couldn't fully comprehend back then. I started with a lot of anxiety and anger that I didn't know why they existed. But the longer and harder I trained, the less anxious and angry I felt. When I engaged in martial arts or pushed myself through a workout, I started to feel safe in my body, something that, due to my trauma, wasn't a given. It grounded me, anchoring me to the present moment, into a sense of security that was otherwise elusive. But it was more than just feeling safe. These practices gave me a foundation of courage and strength. They became my sanctuary, a space where I could start to cultivate the resilience I needed to face my traumas, and eventually they provided me the courage to voice and explore those dark corners of my experience. Looking back, I see how martial arts and fitness were my first steps toward healing. They taught me the invaluable lesson that the journey to recovery often begins with reconnecting to our bodies. They showed me that through physical movement, we can find a pathway to feeling grounded, to establishing a sense of safety within ourselves, and to building the strength needed to confront and heal from our traumas. In sharing this with you, I hope to illustrate that healing is not only possible, but that it can start from anywhere, even from a place as simple as wanting to feel strong, wanting to feel safe in your own skin. My journey led me to where I am today, able to guide and support others on their paths to healing. And if my story resonates with you, remember, it's never too late to find your own lifeline, your own path to feeling safe, grounded, and empowered to heal. Reflecting on my journey and the role that physical movement played in it, I'm reminded of a broader truth that many of us in the helping professions often grapple with. While I wholeheartedly believe in breaking the silence around our traumas, sharing our stories, and finding that courage within us, I'm also acutely aware of how daunting this process can be. Many of my adult patients are naturally afraid and worried of possibly opening up those floodgates and not being able to handle everything. And that's completely normal to have that fear, because it's valid. If you have spent years avoiding it, suppressing it, or other unknown repressed memories, we're not sure how intense things will be. And frankly, I think it's okay to be worried about this. So this brings me back to the body. Trauma, with its complex layers, sometimes also leads us to an out-of-body state, a protective disconnection from our physical selves to escape the raw discomfort and pain. It's a survival tactic, one that, while effective in the moment, can leave us feeling alienated from our own bodies. This is where the journey back, the journey home to ourselves, becomes crucial. Reconnecting with the physical sensations and experiences, we begin to carve out a safe space within us, a sanctuary for healing. It's about honoring our body's wisdom, its incredible resilience, and acknowledging that the journey towards healing often begins with that gentle step of returning home to ourselves. This venture into healing, especially through verbal expression, can feel like navigating a maze blindfolded. This rings true, not just for adults, but for many children as well. The challenge of finding the right words, of painting a vivid picture of experiences steeped in trauma, can be overwhelming. And sometimes the act of speaking, of bringing these memories to the surface, might risk more harm than healing, reopening wounds rather than nurturing them. This is where the profound impact of body-based healing comes into play, offering a different, sometimes more accessible, pathway to begin healing. Imagine this, a route that doesn't demand the precision of words, that offers relief from the struggle of articulation. For many, especially those for whom verbal expression is a struggle, engaging in physical activity from dance, yoga, or martial arts provides a form of expression that transcends words. Movement becomes a language all on its own, a means to tell our stories without fear of misinterpretation, without the anxiety of triggering past traumas. It tells us, and perhaps more importantly, it tells our bodies, it's safe to feel our emotions. For kids who might not have the words to express and process those traumatic thoughts and emotions, physical movement can be a powerful outlet. Through the simple act of moving, they can articulate their inner world, their fears, their hopes, in a way that feels natural to them. It's a gentle nudge, reminding us all that healing doesn't follow a single script. It's diverse, it's multifaceted. And sometimes the most effective way to confront and move through our traumas is quite literally by moving, step by step, breath by breath, in the rhythm of whatever feels right to you. It's crucial to confront the harsh reality of trauma. Trauma, especially like in its darkest forms, has the capacity to paralyze us. And I mean this not just in a metaphorical sense. It can literally freeze us in our tracks, stripping away our instinctual responses to fight, flee, or even move. It's a disturbing predicament, one that leaves many of us feeling trapped within ourselves, like a prisoner to our own fear and immobility. But it's precisely in these moments of helplessness that the most profound transformations can occur. I'm reminded of a patient's journey that, like my own, exemplifies this. Through kickboxing, she found not just a sport, but something more. For her, every punch, every kick was a declaration of defiance against the grip of trauma. It was her way of fighting back, not against an unseen external force, but against the very essence of trauma that urged her to remain stagnant, silent, and to freeze. Her story and countless others like it reinforces how using some form of exercise or physical activity can help us move from paralysis to empowerment. Imagine it, a journey where the act of moving, of engaging in physical activity, isn't just about exercise, but about processing and expressing the emotions that seem too intricate, too overwhelming to articulate in words. It's about fighting your way through the physiological chains of the freeze response that trauma so often imposes. The impact of such stories is great. They remind us that within the domain of movement, whether it's through kickboxing, a peaceful run, a yoga session, or any form of physical activity that speaks to you, lies a potent tool to reclaim what trauma might have taken from you. And so, to anyone out there navigating the turbulent waters of post-trauma recovery, let this serve as a powerful reminder. There is immense power in movement. It holds the key to breaking free from the shackles of the freeze response, offering you a path from paralysis to action, from fear to resilience. Every step you take, every punch you throw, every posture you hold is a step towards not just reclaiming your physical autonomy, but embarking on a deeper journey of healing. It's about gradually building a renewed sense of appreciation for your body, establishing a sanctuary of safety within yourself, and most importantly, reclaiming your agency over your life and your story. Now, with all that said, the stories of how the body can heal us, there's a fundamental truth I want us to explore further, a truth that's both simple and revolutionary. At the very heart of healing from trauma lies a powerful, yet often undervalued tool, the incredible mindfulness properties inherent in our physical selves. Think about it. While our minds might travel back to the past traumas or anxiously leap into the future, our bodies, our amazing resilient bodies, exist right here in the present moment. This presence of the body and its unwavering stance in the now offers us a solid grounding bridge back to the present moment, the here and now. It's a realization that not only shifts our perspective, but opens up a whole new pathway in the work of healing trauma. It invites us to step into a more active role, engaging with our bodies not just as vessels carrying us through life, but as participants in our own healing journey. Imagine for a moment learning to connect with your body in ways you never thought possible. This connection invites us to build a new comfort with the biological sensations that arise with our emotional triggers. For many navigating the aftermath of trauma, our bodies can feel like foreign territory, marked by sensations that seem unfamiliar or even threatening. Yet, through mindful practices, be it breathwork, yoga, or any physical activity that brings us into presence, we begin to chart this unexplored terrain. We start to understand the unique language of our bodies, recognizing and responding to signs of stress, anxiety, or fear with a newfound compassion and understanding. This mindful approach transforms the entire narrative of trauma recovery. It moves us from a place of avoidance and disconnection to one of deep acceptance and engagement. By anchoring in the body's capacity to keep us grounded in the present, we cultivate an inner sense of safety, essential for anyone struggling with trauma. Mindful movement practices provide a gentle, controlled environment to explore our physical sensations, gradually building tolerance to those once overwhelming feelings. Even more so, it works by connecting us deeply with our bodies, allows us to gain a richer, more nuanced understanding of our emotional triggers. It's not just about recognizing these triggers, but understanding how they manifest in our physical bodies and learning strategies to navigate and leverage them effectively. Before I end this session, I want to leave you with a thought that's both a reminder and a bit of hope. Starting with the body is indeed a vital first step in the complex journey of trauma recovery. It's where we begin to find a sense of safety within ourselves, a firm ground beneath our feet. But, dear listeners, it's crucial to remember that the path to healing from trauma is as rich and multifaceted as life itself. Processing trauma isn't just about releasing pent-up emotions. It's also about assigning meaning to our experiences, about transforming these narratives into threads of a larger tapestry. Ultimately, this journey leads us to a place where we can envision a new self, a future that transcends the trauma, where meaningful relationships and experiences redefine our narrative. It's about integrating trauma into our life's story in a way that it becomes a chapter, not the entire book. And so, as you stabilize, as you find that anchor in your body, remember, this is just the beginning. The stages of trauma recovery unfold in their own time, each with its own challenges and triumphs. I encourage you, with every fiber of my being, to embrace this journey. Move through these stages with courage, with the knowledge that each step forward, no matter how small, is a step towards redefining your story, towards a life where trauma informs but does not define you. Yes, this journey is lifelong, but it is also life-giving. And I, along with a community of fellow travelers on this path, am here to support you, to cheer you on every step of the way. Acknowledging and honoring your personal history is a powerful form of self-care and self-respect. It's about offering ourselves empathy for the paths we've walked, understanding the resilience we've shown, and appreciating the growth we've achieved. Our stories, with their trials and triumphs, are not just our own, but a shared human experience that binds us all. So, as we move forward, let's carry with us the lessons, honor, and love from our past. Remember, your story is a vital part of your beautiful life ahead. If today's conversation struck a chord with you, or you believe it could touch the heart of someone you know, I warmly invite you to like, review, and share our show. Your support drives our passion to create content that heals, connects, and empowers. Your engagement not only helps us grow, but also extends a hand to those in search of understanding and compassion. Together, let's continue to build a community where everyone feels seen, heard, and supported. Thank you for sharing this space and time with me today. Until we meet again, take care of your body, honor your journey, and keep moving forward, one breath, one step at a time.
Thanks for tuning in to Mind Manners with Albert Nguyen. We hope you found value in this episode. If you'd like to work with Albert one-on-one, visit optimindcounseling.com to learn more about his private practice. Looking to join a community of like-minded individuals? Search Mind Manners Podcast Community on Facebook and join our group to connect with others on their wellness journeys. Finally, if you haven't already done so, please write us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast and let us know you're enjoying the show.